You know, when I was thinking about coming out of Easter, what would we do? What series would I go into? I wanted to talk about the power of our words. And I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it later because something else really kind of popped in my mind, something very relevant to where we're at in our society and where we're at in our culture and where we're at as believers. And what makes us different from the unbeliever? There should be a noticeable difference between the believer in God and the unbeliever. We are not the same because when we believe in something, we see something different occur in our life because we're believing the principles of God. And so what I want to talk about this morning is stand up and take responsibility. There's no applause for that. I want to talk about standing up and taking responsibility. And I really today want to talk about whose fault is it? Whose fault? So some of you are thinking, boy, this is kind of a touchy issue. It could be. It could be. You know, in our responsibility is very simply defined the ability to respond. And we all have the ability to respond in many different situations, and yet we choose not to respond, typically because we expect someone else to respond instead. We want someone else to do it. For instance, like the outreach we're doing today, this morning, there are some of us in the room that say, well, I have a lot of other plans. There will be other people who will respond to the needs of people who need to know Jesus. And the reality is there are because we are not responding, we have the ability to respond, but because we're not responding, many people are going to hell. It's just the reality of what's taking place. So as parents, if you're a parent in here, just wave at me. Okay, you're going to sit here and go, I wish my kids were in here right now, right? The danger is it's a lot easier to see the irresponsibility in other people than it is to see it in ourselves. In fact, it's almost impossible to see irresponsibility in us. But the end of really all of these messages, there's a question I want us all to ask, and that question is, am I taking responsibility for my life really? Am I taking responsibility for my life, really? Say this with me. Am I taking responsibility for my life? And then look at somebody and say, really? Okay? Here, irresponsibility, this is irresponsibility, is when I don't take responsibility for the things I'm responsible for. Irresponsibility is when I don't take responsibility for the things that I'm responsible for. The motivation of this series is that we're living in a time, and I've been watching, you know, if you watch our society, we're living in a time where our culture is becoming very irresponsible. Now, when I say culture, I'm not talking about the next generation. Because many of us in here, we want to look at the next generation and say, you know, those millennials, they're just very irresponsible. Well, let me just remind you, those of my generation and older, you made them. Somebody should say amen to that. If you have a problem with millennials, that's what you mentored. And there is a responsibility that we have to mentor our children in being responsible. And that we need to teach them that this is what responsibility is, and this is how they should be responsible. Now I look at my own life and how we've raised our kids, and I can tell you I did not raise my kids maybe in the way that I was raised. I know I didn't, because how many grew up? I grew up in a family of five kids. I think my parents had five kids because they were brought up in the farm mentality. You have more kids because then you got more workers for free. Right? And when I was a kid growing up, there was a schedule for washing the dishes. You had chores around the house that you had to do. There were things that had to get done. These days, it's almost easier not to get our kids to do it. We just do it ourselves. And what we've forgotten is it's not about what's easier. It was never. If you have small children, it may be easier for you to do it yourself, and there may still be chunks on the plate when they're done washing it. But understand, you are parenting your children, and part of parenting is teaching them the importance of responsibility. Not just responsibility to work, responsibility in their finances and in their relationships and every area. That as parents, we have a responsibility to teach them that when you have the ability to respond, you need to respond. Not even because you're asked, but because there's a need. And that I have a responsibility to that need. It's interesting, though, in our culture, we have a thing called civil rights. Now, we talk about civil rights, and it's become a race thing. And really, civil rights is part of the Constitution. It says that every person has civil rights. I want to show you this statement. The Constitution has given me certain rights. Therefore, I have the right to be irresponsible. But you don't have the right to hold me accountable. Should I read that again? Just in case you didn't get this. The Constitution has given me certain rights. Therefore, I have the rights to be irresponsible. But you don't have the right to hold me accountable. I have the right to do whatever I want. Or say whatever I want to say and act any way I want to act. But you don't have the right to hold me to that responsibility, to be responsible for what I decided. At the same time, you are responsible to clean up the mess that I create through my irresponsibility. You are responsible to pay the bill I've created through my irresponsibility. Now, I'm not trying to get political here, and I'm not going to get political here because that's not the purpose of this. But when you're irresponsible in an area, somebody has to pay the bill. Somebody has to clean up the mess, right? Some parents in here's got to say amen, right? And see, what's happened is, if we've never taught our kids that when they have the right to make the decision they make, and then we go and run, your kid's in the classroom, they create a mess or create a problem in the classroom, right? And all of a sudden the teacher calls and says, we need to talk because your kid, and then you go to the classroom and you literally back up your child because don't say that about my little Johnny. He would never do anything like that. When everybody else in the room knows he does. Right? And we defend them in their irresponsibility. Everyone else has to clean up the mess, and we haven't taught little Johnny what it is to be responsible. So whenever little Johnny makes a mistake, whenever little Johnny messes up, we're there to defend little Johnny rather than to love little Johnny and say, now you got to pay the consequences for the decision you made. You had the right to make that decision, but now you have the right to pay for that decision or to clean up the mess, right? I'm just reminded of our three daughters. My wife, they were little. They were probably 2 or 3 years old. Mackenzie would have been 4. Heather, which is old enough. They should be responsible by that time, right? Heather, I was in the basement remodeling our basement in the house we were in, and Heather goes, I'm going for a couple of hours. I'm going to do something. Make sure you check on the girls. I'm like, yeah. Right, when a guy does that, they're not listening to you. They're just trying to get you out of the way because I got something I got to do and you're interrupting me right now. Right? How many guys say, amen, we know what you're talking about. Like, it's just move on. Right? And I'm working, and a couple hours go by, 2, 3, 4 hours go by, something like that. They're not crying. They don't need anything. You know, if somebody had cut off a hand, they would have cried. I would have been up there and would have sewed it back on, done something. All of a sudden, I hear the garage door go up, and I realize I haven't been upstairs. I better run up there quick and see what the damage. So I run upstairs to find one of our girls in the refrigerator, the door almost closed, on the arm of Mackenzie, who is taking eggs out, giving them to Bianca, who's bombing them across the kitchen floor. So there are eggs all over. She egged our kitchen. I'm like, girls, here's a washcloth. Clean up your mess. You know, I got in trouble because I wasn't really responsible. They're old enough. I don't know what the problem was. But I wasn't responsible to clean it up. And so I'm like, Heather, you have to clean up the mess. You know who had to clean up that mess was I had to pay the bill for what I did, right? So I told those girls, get down on your hands and knees, start cleaning up right now. Here's the problem with your responsibility, whether in the family, church, job, or nation. Irresponsibility is contagious. It's contagious. When you see someone else getting away with irresponsibility, you start to believe maybe I can get away with responsibility. And then one person after another starts watching this person get away with it, and they're succeeding, and everything's going okay with them, and someone else is doing it, so then maybe I should do it. And then maybe I can get away with it. Maybe that can be done. Why should I work extra hard? Why should I clean up my own messes? Why should I go without? Why should I work? Why should I get a job when other people have learned to make it by being irresponsible? You know, it's interesting because I've always said I would never speak on parenting and tell my kids we're out of the house. Well, they're almost there, so I'm going to talk today. You know, it's interesting, as a pastor especially, when we were raising our kids, we never allowed our kids to go with just anyone. Rarely did our children ever stay the night with anyone. And if we didn't know who they were, they never stayed with over the night. You shouldn't just let your kids stay overnight. They're your greatest riches. Your children are your greatest riches. You should never just let them stay with someone. They spent very, and if there were kids that we knew were not, even in our church, people say, well, weren't you afraid that you'd offend someone? Hey, get this. My kids are our greatest riches. I didn't want to offend someone, but if it did, for the sake of my kids not spending time with a kid that's irresponsible, then they're going to be offended. You need to understand, it's irresponsibility is contagious, and maybe you're the kid, your kid's the one that's irresponsible, right? You have to recognize and look beyond, because how many parents know it's hard to see the truth about your own children? Well, that was poor. A few honest. Here's a principle, though. How many know it's hard to see the truth about your own kids, right? You don't want to believe that they're irresponsible. But here's a principle I want to show you. What is rewarded is repeated. What is rewarded is repeated. And so when we're irresponsible and we see people are rewarded for that, then it's repeated. Did you know irresponsibility across the board is happening in our country, even in our life? This week, there was something we were irresponsible for, right? Right? Okay. Did you know that this year, 40% of the babies that are born will be born to a single mother? Do you know that? 40% will not have a father in home. That's 40%. That is not including the babies that will be born and then will end up in a home of just a single parent. And yet, we stop and we just say, well, whatever, I get to choose whatever I want to get to choose. I'm going to do whatever I get to choose. But then someone's going to have to pay for that responsibility. That child is going to have to live with the responsibility of that, because we're more concerned about what I want and how I want it and the way I want it than being responsible for the rights that I have in my life. Anytime an individual or group acts irresponsibly, someone has to come along and bear the burden of the irresponsible behavior. Anytime that happens, irresponsibility is not neutral. It's not neutral. Look at this. When I act irresponsibly, I'm expecting other people who are not responsible for that, for me, to clean up the mess I've created. I'm going to say that again. When I act irresponsibly, I am expecting other people who are not responsible for me to clean up the mess I've created. Here are some examples of that. The national debt. You said you weren't going to get political. No, I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to talk because this isn't a political issue. The national debt is not coming down. But at one point, somebody's going to say, maybe we shouldn't keep loaning money, allowing the United States to borrow money. And then who's going to pay for it? Right? See, here's the thing. Maybe this is just Minnesota, but because that was a good place. Like, yeah, you're right. You know, that you're just sitting looking at me. I think we're so numb to the fact that we're an irresponsible nation that it doesn't even faze us when I say we need to do something about our debt. And in most cases, we sit there and we think, I can't do anything anyway, so big deal, right? But the reality, Enron, when Enron went through their whole thing, a lot of people got rich off of that, but who suffered? The employees suffered. They had to clean up the mess because of bad decision, the irresponsibility of its leaders. And again, we look at irresponsibility in our nation and we think, hey, if it's good for you, it can't be wrong. The philosophy teachers in this country teach that if it's good for you, if it's what you want to do, and that's what, then it's not morally wrong. But somebody's got to clean up the mess because irresponsibility is not neutral. Anytime somebody does something irresponsible, there has to be another. It's like a battery, a plus and a minus, or a positive and a negative. Anytime something is done over here, there has to be a negative. There has to be somebody over here cleaning up the mess. Not showing up for the nursery when you're volunteering for the nursery and you don't show up. Do you know when you don't show up for the nursery or you don't show up for a ministry that you were volunteering for, somebody actually had to clean up that mess? Or when you don't do your job at work and you didn't want to do it, so you kept putting it off, but it had to be done and somebody else actually had to do what you were responsible for. I remember when the girls were younger, I came home and we were in a new house at this point, and we had a brand new wood floor, and it was just amazing. And I came home, and you walked from the garage into the kitchen, and I opened up the kitchen door, and the light hit the wood floor just right, and I could see all these little dents all over the floor. All right, and so I was pretty upset. It was a wood floor, and you know how hard it is to fix that. And later we found out that it was a pair of my wife's high heels that were doing it. But at the time, my wife said, it must be the kids. And so I thought it was the kids' play shoes. You know, they had those play high heels, and they would walk around in their dresses. You know, I miss those days where they'd pull the dresses up, and they had, and they walk around. I thought it was their high heels and that they had been walking around. And I said, girls, come down here right now. And I yelled at all of them. They come down. I sat them around the table. I said, who's been playing? And they're all pointing at each other. Not me. How many know what I'm talking about, parents? Like, it happened, but no one did it. Like God has the Holy Spirit, there's an unholy spirit of the devil that comes and does things in your house. And you don't know what it is, but it's an unholy spirit, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, do you know how much this is going to cost to fix? And it's going to, we'll have to replace the whole wood. And I'm going on and on. And I said, how do you expect me to pay for this? And Mackenzie goes, Dad, just write a check. Just write a check, which then sent me in a whole other direction. What? Just write a check? Do you even, right? Just write a check. Just write a check. It's been almost 20 years later, and I could still go off on that. Or even dishes after eating. And if you're a young person in this room, and you've eaten a meal, and your mother has prepared the meal, and done all the work of doing that, why wouldn't you get up and take your plate, put it in the sink, and start doing the dishes? You have the ability to respond, but we've taught our kids that we're your slaves. Now, you say, no, I just love my kids, and that's why. If you love your kids, teach them to be responsible. Because we are raising a generation of irresponsible children. And you may not be around to see it, or maybe you will, but when it comes time to take care of you, they won't be responsible to do it because we never taught them to do it. Now, a lot of older people praise the Lord on that one. Are you catching this? If you got the ability to respond, irresponsibility is personal. If I avoid my responsibility, I'm asking someone else to do it for me, to shoulder the burden. I am asking other people, and at times, the ones that are closest to us, to carry my responsibility. whether it's financially, environmentally, emotionally, irresponsibility is not neutral. It doesn't just go away when you're irresponsible. Someone has to clean up the mess. Now, what we do is we love to focus on the irresponsible people out there, because all of us in here are responsible. Yeah, that you keep talking about that, and then it's easy to talk about those people ruining our societies. You know, Republicans are blaming the Democrats are blaming the Republicans, and the independents just hate them all. We spend so much time talking about irresponsibilities of other people and wasting our energy on talking about everyone else's irresponsibility, talking about the irresponsibility of our boss, our politicians, our leaders, our pastors, and you fill in the blank, rather than using the same energy to work on the irresponsibility we find in ourselves. By the way, not to get political, we complain about our politicians and the political options we had this last election season. Can I tell you something? You know why we had those options? Because that's who we are. That's what our nation is. If you think that President Trump's little thing that was appalling in the bus, while he's talking about a woman, was just isolated to Trump, I have heard far worse things said in locker rooms with guys that have said things that have been appalling and it should never have been said in ways that should never have said. And if you think lying, cheating, and all of that stuff, I am so tired of people who are irresponsible in their workplace, and then they see a leader do it and they wonder, why are we only having these options? It's because of we got who we are. And because the church hasn't taken the responsibility to be a light in a dark world, to be a moral compass in a world that needs to say, you know, this is wrong, and to stand up when you're in a locker room and say, hey, guys, that's wrong. I want no part of that. No, I'm not. You go ahead. You say, I'm not. I don't want anyone not to like me. And we wonder why we end up with the leaders we end up with. You wonder why we end up, I'm amazed by the people who say, well, this person's having an affair and that person, and yet it's happening all over the place. Because of irresponsibility, all of us have to clean up the mess. You can't just put it away, you can't hide it, you can't shove it out. So anytime you have an irresponsibility, you just decide, I'm not going to do it, even though it's your responsibility to do it. You have the ability to respond. Somebody's going to have to do it. You just decided you weren't going to. It's like being in, well, I won't go there. Because today I want us to look at this. There is in all of us something that wants to shirk our responsibility. In all of us. We didn't have to learn it. It's just normal. If I could get somebody else to do it for me, I'm going to get them to do it for me. Then I won't have to do it. So we shirk those responsibilities. But as Christian followers, now if you're not a believer today, this is not for you. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is for you. We are required to fulfill our responsibilities. And isn't it interesting in the church today, when I say we're required to do that, we're like, nope, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. Don't tell me I have to. God has commanded us to fulfill our responsibilities as parents, as husbands, as people that are living together. He said, I want you to fulfill your responsibility. Christians should be the most responsible people on the planet. Okay, I'll say that again. Christians should be the most responsible people on the planet. God has ultimately given you ultimately keeps you accountable. Why? Because we're not doing it for our mama. We're not doing it for a daddy. We're not doing it for a boss. We're not doing it for a pastor. We're doing it for God. Everything we do is unto the Lord. It's a responsibility. I'm going to do this for you, God. So we pay our bills. We pay our taxes. We should clean up our own messes. We should learn to care for our families. You should pay child support. right? That was for somebody in the room. I don't know who you are, but it was for you. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to go into the Bible, and we're going to talk about irresponsibility and how a story in the Bible that kind of relates to this. And it's the story of Adam and Eve. Now, some believe that Adam and Eve didn't exist, that they were just a myth that were told and it was passed on, a story that was told. And then there are others that believe that Adam and Eve really existed, that God created them in the garden. I would look at what Jesus said. Jesus referred to Adam and Eve in the New Testament, and twice he referred to them, both times talking about them as if they existed, and one time leveraging a story of Adam and Eve to prove a point when he was talking about it. So I tend, if Jesus believed that Adam and Eve existed, I believe they existed, right? Because if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you believe he was there when they were created, that he was part of the creation of it. So I'm going to take you to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you have your Bible, you'll want to use it. So it says, "So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number.'" There you go. God bless you. Amen. Go be fruitful and increase in number. You know, my dream is 100 pregnant ladies at one time at B-Rock. Yeah, I know. I know. It's good news. Some of you are listening to that dream and others are working on it. I appreciate your efforts. But here's the thing. God says at the beginning of time, he gives them responsibility right away in the beginning. There's one rule. Don't eat of the tree, but there's responsibility. When we're fulfilling responsibilities, we don't need laws and commands. If we fulfill, you don't need rules when you're fulfilling responsibility. And God gives them just one rule, but a lot of responsibility. Goes on, it says, "Fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and never and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." And all the vegetarians said, amen. You were created to be responsible. The happiest people you'll ever meet are those who are carrying responsibility and fulfilling responsibility. If you ever meet somebody who's lost a job or been out of work for a while, they've often struggled. It's a struggle emotionally for them, because in a man, there's this need to want to work, to want to hold responsibility. Same in a woman. A woman has the same desire as well to work and to do that. And many women, they take seriously if they're a mother and they want to be known as a great mom. They want to be known as a great wife. There's something about the responsibility of those two things that they take seriously, and they want to be good at. How many women would say, "Yeah, that's right. I agree with that"? Okay, no one. I've never met a happy, irresponsible person. I've never met someone. Met a lot of people say it was not my fault, but I'm not to blame, but they're not happy. A lot of people like to shirk responsibility and say, "I don't," but they're not happy. People are happiest when they're fulfilling what they were created to do and fulfilling responsibility. Now, there's a twist in this story, because Adam and Eve are fulfilling their responsibilities, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Eve gets a little close to this tree, and there's a serpent there, and the perfect storm happens where Eve is by the tree and the serpent's there, and a little deception's going on, and then Eve eats the fruit and they both sin. They eat of the fruit of the tree they weren't supposed to eat of, had no idea what sin was, but something happened in their life that was different, and that's where we're going to pick up the story in verse 8. Here's what it said. "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord." Now, it's funny, hid from the Lord, like God's not going to know where you're at, right? He created everything, like God's going to hide from the Lord. But you do dumb things when you sin, right? When you're involved in sin, or you're shamed or guilty, you do dumb things. It's funny. That's why if you're involved in a sinning thing, just don't do anything, because it's going to be dumb, whatever it is you do, okay? Don't make grand decisions. So the next part, next verse, But the Lord called the man, "Where are you?" Well, God knew where they were. He's not asking. If Jason and Chris were Adam and Eve, and God would come up, and he probably walked right up to the rock that they were hiding behind, and they were sitting there, and God was probably like, "Adam, Eve, like, I know you're there. You know, like, is this a new game we're playing? Is hide and seek?" That's where it was created, right there. It's been around forever. You know, is this a new game called hide and seek? You know, you create, and Adam and Eve come out, and this is what happens. He says, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You know, all of a sudden he was naked. Well, what is it? He's talking about, "I was ashamed. You were here, and when I was, there was something that was hindering our, it was weird, and I didn't understand it." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Well, duh, there's no one else in the garden. Like, who told you? Like, who's talking to you, Adam? "Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from? Have you done what you weren't supposed to do, Adam?" Next verse. So Adam responded, "Yes, I did, and I take full responsibility for my actions. Do with me as you will, but leave Eve out of this. She's innocent." If you're not laughing, maybe you should read your Bible more often. The world would be a different place had Adam said that. If only he said, "I'm here to protect and defend the reputation of my wife. I take full responsibility of everything." Now, I want to touch on an issue, because I'm not being political. There is a whole movement that's taking place in our country, and one of the movements is part of this. There's a lot of sub-movements, but one of the movements, sub-movements of this wholer movement of women and women rights and the Me Too movement, and there's a feminism and all kinds of things. Wednesday night, I talked about this a little bit as well. On Wednesday night, we're dealing with cultural issues, hot topic issues on Wednesday night. And I'm not going to get into the depth of this. We talked about it then, but I am going to say, women, God does have an order for things, okay? Men have failed in many cases in their responsibility to protect you. Some ladies should have said amen, okay? But the world, the church cannot take its cues from the world because the world is out of order. Okay? Okay, I'm going to say that again. The world is out of order. Okay? By the way, it was the church, and history proves this, that championed women's rights. That women and men were equal. History proves it again and again. If you don't know history, you're bound to make the same mistakes. Okay? So the church, and I'm going to tell you that the thing that I want to address is, we as men were created to protect and cover you, not dominate you. Okay? So when a husband does something for a wife or cares for a wife, first of all, that's what he should do. He should protect his wife. When someone attacks his wife in public, the man should stand up and say, "Hold the phone. You attack her, you attack me, and I'm going to get in your grill." That's a little like 10 years ago, right? But that's what I am 10 years ago. Right? I'm going to get up in your face, and we're going to have a discussion because you just attacked my wife. My wife isn't going to guard, protect. I'm guarding her, okay? But ladies, when a guy opens a door for you, he is honoring and protecting you, not as the lesser being, but because that is the responsibility God has asked him to fulfill, is to treat you like a queen. okay? And so if you're a Christian man, you should continue, no matter what happens, to protect. If a woman is being taken advantage of, you should let her know they're trying to take you advantage of you. If you're trying to take advantage of a woman, God will take care of you. Okay? Is this making sense? That we don't look at them as an object, we look at them as a creation of who God is. And we protect them, and we care about them, and we elevate them, and we celebrate them, okay? But ladies, if you're gonna get mad about some guy opening the door for you, you are in the world, you do not understand the way creation was created by God our Creator, and you are stepping out of order that God designed. Right? So how many ladies in here say, okay, I get it? Because we want to celebrate you. How many ladies in here want to be protected by a man? You want the protection, right? Some of you aren't raising. I'm not raising my hand. If you're not married, you might want to raise your hand. There's more truth to what I just said than you realize. So Adam didn't say that. This is what Adam said. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. You just see that? Come here, Heather. Come here, stand right up here. I want to illustrate this for you a little bit. Bob, come on up here. So Bob's God. All right? God, she did it. I was just there, and she gave me something to eat, and you said, you know, honor, and I was trying to respect, and I just, so she gave me, I just, it's her fault. No, listen. It was just me, you, and the animals. It was just the three of us. At times, it got a little lonely, but that was okay. I was okay with that. I didn't really need anything. It was just us three. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, while I'm sleeping, of course, you always do it, you reached in and you took my rib out, and I still got the scar here. Sure, you took my rib out and you created woman. This is your fault. Now look at the mess we got. You two figure it out. You talk about this. It ain't my fault that this happened. This is your fault, right? How many know that your wife, and it sent a shiver up your spine when I'm saying that, because you're thinking your wife is like, you talk like that when God's here. We'll just wait until God leaves, and we're going to have a conversating going on. You and me, we're going to do that, right? How many know what I'm talking about, right? You guys can sit down. Can you just see that? Can you see that in the garden? No. What Adam was doing, who's shirking his responsibilities right at the beginning of time, it is so natural. It's one of the oldest forms of defense mechanism that we have. Whenever something goes bad, we want to shift the blame to someone else. And even though I'm responsible, see, here's the thing. You don't have to be the one to do it to be responsible. Did you get that? See, what we've done is we've tied together, I have to do the act in order to be responsible for the act. No, the buck stops with you when you're the father of the home. You're responsible for your family. I'm responsible for you. One day, I will give an account to God for you. I take that very seriously. If you're a boss and you own a business and you have people that work for you, you will give account for the people that work for you. There is responsibility that we all hold in some capacity in our life, whether it's financially, whether it's in our health, whatever it is, we all have that. Now look at verse 12. Look, it goes on. It says, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, it was the serpent's fault. Serpent deceived me and I ate. It's the serpent's fault. I remember a quick story. My wife, we were engaged to be married, and we were painting my in-law's house. This made me remember it. And we were painting the in-law's house, and we were painting the entire house white. and we were painting in the living room at the time, and they have shag carpet. And Heather was stepping off the ladder and hit the bucket, the pail of the gallon of paint, and it poured all over the shag carpet. And she goes, James, this is all your fault. I'm 5 feet away, and I'm like, what? Little did I know what I was getting myself into, right? This is all your fault. You know, anytime we think we fear something, fear, like there's something's going to get, we want to blame someone else because I don't want to have to pay the wrath. I don't want to have to pay the bill. Irresponsibility always creates conflict. Irresponsibility always creates conflict. Irresponsibility that leads us to blame always creates conflict. Wherever we are, wherever there is blame, there's usually irresponsibility. Isn't it rare to hear somebody say, I am to blame? Now, think of this. Imagine, have you ever heard from your spouse or someone in a conflict when the tension is high and the emotions are running wild, someone say, you know what? It is my fault. I am to blame. This is my blame. I accept full responsibility for what I did. I am sorry, that's wrong. How many would say that might change a few things if someone, but how often have you actually said that? In the middle of all of that, it's because it's your fault, it's your blame, you're to blame for this. Notice the minute someone, you respected this leader, you have a high level of respect for a leader, there's a leader and you have a high respect for him, and then you see that person blame someone else for something that happened either in the company or wherever it was, you see this leader blame someone else and they blame it. How many of you actually sat there and go, wow, I used to have respect for him, but I got a lot more respect for him now. It was just amazing at how he shifted the blame so well. I was so inspired by the way he blame shifted there. I really want him to mentor me. It was such a cunning way. I'm going to spend some time with him and see if he can invest some of that inside of me, right? When you see someone blame, it's almost as if you almost expect it. It's like you overlook it because it's so normal. But you know what? It'll never garner more respect. It's not when you tell you see somebody who could pass the blame and they said, you know what, it's my responsibility. I accept the blame. I will pay for their irresponsibility because it's my responsibility. It's those people you look to and say, those are the people I want to be like. Those are the people I want to emulate. Whether it's somebody that I work with or I live with. Whenever there's irresponsibility, there's usually conflict between two people within a family, a company, a culture, a nation, and a world. And there's something deeper. It's a deeper place within me. Irresponsibility creates a conflict in me. I may convince you that I'm not to blame and I'm not responsible, but inside of me, I know I am. And even though I go on thinking I deceived my wife, my kids, my boss, my church, my friends, everyone, no one thinks I'm the one that was responsible. Inside of me, I know, and it's always there, and I have that as a thought in my mind that it's there. Look at this. You will never live out your God-given potential if you're living out irresponsibility. You'll never live it out. So there's two assignments I want to give you today. Two assignments. You're saying, well, we're not in church. Who are you to give me an assignment? Here is two assignments I'm going to give you for a heavenly grade, okay? And your GPA in heaven will determine where you live. So you might want to do it. Don't ask for a biblical reference on that. I'm working on it. I don't have anything right now. Here's your first assignment. Listen to your blame. Listen to your blame. We all do this, and I'm not asking you to go to someone to fix something or, you know, something that was in the past that you should do. I'm just asking you to listen to your own blame. Listen to the words that come out of your mouth as it relates to blame. Okay? Here's an example. The reason I didn't get on the treadmill today is because. Right? Here's another one. I ate that way because the hours I work. We blame things. I don't have enough money because. My marriage is a mess because my spouse. There's always a reason. We're always passing the blame of why things aren't the way we want them in our own life. We're passing it on the other person. And we're saying, the reason that I'm doing this is because of where that thing is happening in my life. Rather than saying, you know what? I have a responsibility. I can affect this. I can change this. When you start the blame talk, ask yourself the question, am I taking responsibility for this situation? Really? Here's a great illustration. If you're going to choose to not eat right today, this is what you should do. If you're going to choose to eat at McDonald's 5 times a week, and I don't hope you work at McDonald's, but you're going to choose to eat poorly right now, this is what you should do. Go to your spouse and tell them, in 20 years, will you be willing to clean up the mess of my poor health because of the decisions I made today? Irresponsibility can come in every version. How we eat, whether we spend time in the Bible or not, how we spend our money and whether we're saving money, whether we work hard at work or not, how we raise our kids and what are we teaching our kids. Like, who are we allowing our kids to spend time with? Guess what, guys? You're the parent, not the friend. You have a responsibility as a parent. If you're going to try to be their friend, they got lots of friends. Try their parent. Try parenting. It's a more honorable role. Teach your kids to honor. Or down the road, you have to clean up the mess. That's the first assignment. Here's the second assignment. Look in the mirror. Now, when I was in Michigan, I did, for about 10 years, the last 10 years there, I probably did 3 or 4 counseling sessions every week. And that was a normal week. So I learned a lot about marriage. In fact, doing marriage counseling actually helped me in my marriage. Because when we were going through the marriage counseling, I was sitting there, now don't do that. That does not work. Right? And you'd go through it. And so I learned a lot about marriage counseling going through. If you want to help your marriage, just start doing marriage counseling. Right? And there was something I used to do. Almost never would I meet with one or the other alone. It was always together because you never really could do anything when they were separate. But there was something that I tried, and I did this. It was something that actually lots of people tried. This wasn't something I created. It was something somebody else created. I don't know who. But there was something I did, and it never really worked. But for some reason, I felt like it would this morning. So I'm gonna do it this morning. I'm going to use this morning. Okay? So when looking at it in marriage, in conflict in marriage, what happens is we love to shift blame. So we look at it when a person comes in, you know, a reason our marriage is terrible is because of them. See, the board responded. Supernatural power. And it's because of them. That's why our marriage isn't working, right? And usually in a marriage, the reason there are problems is because they're always pointing at each other. James says the reason you have problems is because it's a battle that wages inside of you. There's a battle in me that's going on. So if you're having a problem in your marriage, you will never have marriage health in your marriage if you're always pointing at the other person. There was a guy, Superintendent David Reeb was his name. When I first got married, we were just first married. Maybe I remember this. Heather and I were having one of those discussions. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? We had one of those discussions, and then I went into this meeting, and he was there. And for some reason, he made this point. He didn't know anything about Heather's, you know, problems. And And he made this decision. I'm doing this on purpose. I'll have to pay the price later on for my irresponsibility. But he made this statement. He said, I always tell people, guys, when they come in, you married her. It was your decision. Now make it work. Can I tell you something? There is no such thing as compatible marriages. There are no compatible people. We are not compatible people. But if you learn to take responsibility, you will live longer. Does that make sense? So look at this. This is the illustration I would use. It's a pie, okay? And you can make it whatever you want, cherry pie, apple pie, whatever you want to think it is. This is a pie, right? But this pie represents all of the blame in your relationships, whether at work, with your boss, with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends, whoever it is, all of the blame is in this pie. And what I would do is I lay it out and I would say, now, what I want you to do is I want you to cut out a piece, a slice of pie that represents your percentage of blame in this whole pie of blame, right? And then they would make, and you know what they would do? If it was only one person there, this is what they would do. They would do, this is how much blame I have. Right? And usually for a couple, if they were there, you give them two pies and you say, make it up. And then so when you collect, when you take the pie from that person, the pie from this person, put it together, it would look like this. Because how many know it's always hers is always less than his? That might be a little biased. All right? Who's responsible for this part of the blame? It's just like our kids. It's like when I said, who did this? Everyone else does it. At what point do we stop? See, here's the problem with this. Even though, and this is why it didn't work. If it was just with one or the other, I say, okay, let's focus just on this slice of the pie and leave the rest away alone. Do you know what the person could never do? They could never just stay in their slice of the pie. They always had to get out here and point at everyone else because we don't want to be responsible for what our responsibility is for. We just want to point at their irresponsibility. When you're pointing at your spouse's or the other person's problems, you will never get a solution. You'll never have a solution until you actually work on the part of the pie that's yours. So look, here's assignment number two. What part of the blame is your blame, and how can you take responsibility for the things you've been shirking? So, am I taking seriously my responsibility? Really? Really? Will you bow your head?